Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for real estate investors looking to protect their assets, save on taxes, and build their wealth with Clint Coons. Clint is an attorney, author, avid real estate investor, and featured instructor at Anderson's tax and asset protection events held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, it's Clint Coons here with Anderson Business Advisors, and today I have Sean Waddell on from National Real Estate Insurance Group, and he's going to talk to us about the importance of insurance and the different type of policies that are out there. You know, we all know as real estate investors that when you go out and you try to find insurance, you talk to your local guy, many times they look at you as if you're from another planet because you're using strategies that they're unfamiliar with. We're talking about LLCs, corporations, land trusts, and we're putting our properties into these entities for asset protection. And many times then when we need to get our insurance, our local insurance individual does not know how to write the right type of policy we need to protect our assets. Because let's face it, even though you use an LLC, you still need insurance. And just this week, I was speaking to an attorney who's an investor, and he called me up and he said, hey, I have this property in an LLC and my tenant has been hurt. The ceiling fan fell down, hit him on his foot, and he can't walk anymore. He's going to be permanently disabled, and he's suing my LLC, and I don't have insurance. Do you think I have a problem? Now, of course, you do have a problem, because even though you create a limited liability company, it doesn't relieve you of your responsibility to insure the property. So when we're setting up these structures, it's imperative that you get the right information. So that's why I brought Sean on. I think he can explain, you know, why that's important. We're going to ask him a number of questions, and hopefully by the end of this, you're going to understand this is the group you want to go to. So Sean, thanks for coming on. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks. Thank you, Clint, for having me.
Great. So with National Real Estate Insurance Group, can you just give me a brief background as how this came together, you know, this group, because you offer a number of products out there that I think are really advantageous for investors.
Absolutely. And National Real Estate Insurance Group itself is a national independent insurance agency. So we're licensed and active in all 50 states with a focus on real estate investors. About 20 years ago, we developed what's now known as the REI Guard Insurance Program. And it kind of started with kind of two separate programs that came together as one. You know, we had Mike Wren here, one of our owners in Kansas City, that was working with the Homevestors franchises and developed Renovators Insurance, which was a short-term program for guys and girls that were doing fix and flips that needed a month or two of coverage and the insurance industry wasn't responding to their need. Tim Norris and myself were in Cincinnati, Ohio, and we were developing National Real Estate Insurance Group and National Condo and Apartment Insurance Group with a focus on residential real estate investors that were buy and hold opportunities, as well as larger apartments, condo associations, really any line of commercial real estate. In 2010, after really passing some business opportunities back and forth at multiple events across the country, Tim and Mike actually merged their agencies and developed this crazy program called through National Real Estate Insurance Group called REI Guard that now can accommodate for a portfolio of 1 to 4 family rental dwellings through any phase of occupancy anywhere in the country on monthly reporting. And then in 2014, I went ahead and merged my agency as well. And we now can accommodate really for any line of commercial real estate that an investor decides to dive into.
Wow. I mean, it seems like it's perfect for our clients, especially because at Anderson, we pride ourselves as being a one-stop shop for the real estate investors, giving them the tax information, business planning, and asset protection, even estate planning. And it seems like what you've done with National Real Estate Insurance Group is hit the same type of demographic target, and that you saw there was a need out there that people could then go to one place to make sure all their insurance needs are covered. And that's refreshing, because I know how frustrating it can be, even with my own investing. You know, as I tell people, I own over 100 properties, and it's just difficult to go out there and find an agent that gets it. And it sounds to me, in my experience in working with you, that you guys understand it. And I can tell you this, that it took us a long time to finally find someone such as National Real Estate Insurance Group that understands a real estate investor. And so I've been real happy with our relationship to make you a trusted resource for our clientele because of the value you bring to them. So with that, you know, you're talking about policies. Can you tell me, you know, why is a flipper? Because we have a lot of flippers that go out, they buy and sell properties, but I don't think they understand the importance of the insurance and what type of insurance should they get.
So a couple of quick points that I'd like to make on those builder's risk type of policies or forms that these investors can purchase for these fix and flip opportunities. One, it's typically a builder's risk form is property only. So unless you specifically ask for liability coverage, that can be an exposure on a lot of builder's risk forms. So think of maybe slip and falls, personal injuries, like you just mentioned with one of your friends there that's happening. Those are exposures on a lot of builder's risk forms unless you specifically ask for liability to be included for the premises. Understanding the market the way that we do, because we're all investors ourselves, we of course include that into our form. To kind of piggyback on that, renovation properties, short-term fix and flips are considered probably the highest risk type of property for an insurance company to agree to insure. There's a lot of parties going in and out. There's a lot of ongoing operations. You know, typically those are susceptible to theft or people breaking and entering. So insurance companies are going to force investors most of the time to come in and buy a longer-term policy, a six-month to an annual policy, which doesn't make a lot of sense if the flip in your possession, you think you're going to have it done in 3 to 4 months, because these policies are fully earned at inception, meaning, hey, from the get-go, as soon as you agree to purchase coverage from your carrier, you have to pay the full premium upfront. And by the way, if you cancel early because that flip's completed, you can't get any money back for the unused premium. That's the cost of doing business with a lot of these carriers that will agree to actually take on risk. And it's just on renovation properties. And it's really just because they don't have an appetite for the risk they're taking on and they don't understand the market.
Wow. Yeah, I did not know that. I haven't flipped properties in years. But yeah, I bet a lot of people think that when they buy a policy like that, once they cancel it, they're going to get a refund of the premium, but they're not. So that's good to know. So you're saying that with all your fix and flip policies, then you're going to automatically include that liability coverage for them? It's not something they have to ask for?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's premises liability that's going to be included on every opportunity that we propose and go over with an investor, whether it's regardless of the occupancy. We think it's more important to cover the liability exposure than any property exposure. Think about a liability claim, a wrongful death, a personal injury that is severe. Can take a company faster down than any property loss, regardless of the size. It's the unknown. There's a tail on it. You know, liability goes a couple of years down the line where you think your business is going well, and then all of a sudden you get hit with a lawsuit for a slip and fall that occurred on the site a couple of years ago when you had ownership interest in the property. So absolutely, we always include liability. The only time we'll ever remove it is if it's specifically asked for from the investor during the proposal process.
So you just said something interesting there. So if I bought this property, I'm renovating it, and then I sell it. And then a year and a half later, somebody brings a claim that they were injured on the property while they're working on it. You say that would be covered under your policy?
It would be covered. So liability is a slippery slope, and there's a lot of gray areas, right? So if the injury happened and they were just maybe they were breaking and entering, or the house was left unsecured and they fell down the steps and were injured, then that type of exposure would be picked up under the premises liability coverage that was enforced at the time of the loss. If it's a loss that was occurred from general contractor's negligence, or if you as the investor were actually doing the renovations yourself and then a lawsuit was filed for faulty workmanship, you know, post-sale by their new owner, those are all types of standalone coverages you have to purchase in addition to your premises liability. But yeah, a lot of those would be covered under the premises one.
Got it. So there's other additions you can acquire when you're purchasing a builder's risk policy to cover that. So let me give you an example. Just the other day, someone came into my office. They had rehabbed a property. They'd sold it. And it turns out that there's an issue with a catch basin in the basement. They have both gray water and rainwater that run into it that pump it into the sewer line. Supposedly it's not correct and it needs to be changed. Would an insurance policy cover that type of change that the contractor screwed up on or not?
The general contractor's policy would pick that up for faulty workmanship, right? So your carrier, the premises liability, if needed, would provide you with defense costs to go in and help you, you know, go against the general contractor's policy, but that's a GC exposure. So typically what we always recommend that our investors do is when a general contractor comes onto your site, just to bid on the property, they should be able to give you two pieces of information, their certificate of liability coverage that tells you that their business is covered adequately, as well as their workers' compensation coverage if they have employees that are going to be on site as well. And, you know, the certificates of liability give you a couple of cool pieces of information that you can use. Gives you the carrier that wrote the piece of business as well as the agency. So you can, if you want to go in and reach out to the agency each month to make sure their premium is paid, because they'll get a nice shiny certificate for a year showing coverage by paying a month or two of premium up front. So you can do one or two things, and I always recommend the second. But the first one is you can call monthly to make sure their coverage is in good standing, or you can learn as an investor that those general contractor's policies can work for us as investors. And we do that by adding ourselves as additional insured to their general contractor's liability policy for the duration of time they're working on your property. Those are usually free to do, or at most it costs $50 to endorse their policy. It's well worth it to pay that money if they're bellyaching about it. But that extends their liability coverage to you if they do something negligent and you're named in the lawsuit. And equally as important, it's going to notify you as an additional insured prior to their policy canceling for non-payment or any other underwriting issues, so you can get out ahead of it and make sure that it's right.
Wow. Sounds like kind of like buying a tail then on their policy. Yeah. Nice.
If you are a real estate investor, trader, or business owner who wants to lower your taxes, protect your assets, and build future wealth, then you need to attend the next 3-day tax and asset protection event sponsored by Anderson Business Advisors. At the event, podcast hosts Clint Coons, Toby Mathis, and Michael Bowman will discuss the art of building generational wealth, ninja equity stripping strategies to discourage lawsuits, the reason to forget LLCs for real estate, tax strategies to stay out of the IRS crosshairs, avoid the joint venture chamber of horrors, and much more. The Anderson Advisors Tax and Asset Protection event is held monthly throughout the country and via live stream. Join us for the next 3-day tax and asset protection event and network with other investors and business owners while learning strategies to build your wealth and help you sleep better at night with a solid peace of mind knowing you have prepared for anything. Learn about the next event dates and locations by going to AndersonAP.com and register today. That's AndersonAP.com to register. AndersonAP.com.
So how about when someone comes to you and they have a corporation? Because a lot of our flippers, what we'll teach them is that you either flip through a corporation or better yet, flip through a limited liability company that's owned by a corporation. Does that pose any difficulty for obtaining these policies? Does it matter?
It does for a lot of carriers. A lot of carriers are limited to only being able to offer coverage in the personal name of the owner of the property. You know, again, knowing the market as we do, we're all residential real estate investors ourselves. That made little to no sense for us to put that limitation on our investors. So we can actually accommodate for any type of named insured ownership entity, and we can still house them all on one single schedule, so we can leverage portfolio size and activity to keep an investor's property rates and costs down over time because you've got common ownership or interest in the property. So LLCs, corporations, IRAs, trusts, you name it, it can all be bundled together through our program.
Okay, so hold on. I'm going to come back to that topic because that's really important for the listeners here. But just on the side of, we were talking about insuring the LLC, for instance, if it owns the property, why don't local insurers agree to insure the LLC? Why do they only want to insure the individual? What's their hang up there?
The best I can tell you is that it's already been pre-negotiated through their reinsurance treaties and contracts that they have, that it's just, they can't accommodate for it. And those are the companies that you run into, like the State Farms, the Farmers, the Allstates of the world. They're all, by the way, tremendous companies for what they do. And what they specialize in are home and auto and some life policies, right? Some lower risk type of deals, homeowner policies. When you start getting into the investor world, right, where, you know, these are higher risk locations, your tenant's more likely to burn your house down than you are. They almost offer the coverage out of a sense of obligation to their existing clientele. They don't have an appetite for it. And you can tell by the fact that they require you to insure a property to a very high valuation per square foot, more than you'll ever recover following a loss. And they do that in an effort to recover enough money in the premium to offset the risk they're taking on a higher risk location. So I think it's just not having the appetite for the risk more than anything. And along with the contracts that they've negotiated to be able to extend coverage to them.
Interesting. Yeah, because I can never figure that out, because it seems to me like, you know, you're insuring me. If I'm the owner of my LLC, it's still the same insurance policy. Who do you care? Or what does it matter who owns it? If there's a claim made, you still got to pay. So yeah, that makes sense. So when you're talking about this bundling, that's something that's really important, because the few that I've talked to, clients that have actually found that maybe their State Farm agent that would offer them a policy. And I'll give you an example here. An investor comes to their State Farm agent and they have 6 limited liability companies with one property in each LLC. The agent tells them, you need to have 6 separate individual policies. We can't give you an umbrella policy over all of these. We have to do them with 6 separate agreements. And it just seems to run up the cost. Did I hear you to say that you can aggregate all this together? It doesn't matter how the properties are held in different LLCs. We can do it under one.
Absolutely. That's exactly what we do when it comes to property. And then the primary premises liability, your underlying liability limits. We'll touch on umbrellas here in just a second. But it's a master schedule for a particular investor or investment group. And it allows you to add and delete locations from your schedule as need be. But think about if myself as your agent, right? If you came to me and said, "Hey, I've got one location," and I blanketed out to the 250 different carriers that I'm contracted with, one location as opposed to 10 locations, as opposed to 100, the more I can get, the more leverage I have with that underwriter to drive your property rate down. So when you do a one-off policy for each location, you're really at the mercy of the underwriter on what they want to assign as a property rate. And that could be based on the different areas of the country maybe you're investing in. Could just be the mood they're in that day. So leveraging that, it just gives me more kind of firepower to go to ammunition, call it, to go to the underwriter and drive those rates down for you.
So tell me this. So who should you name then as the additional insured under your policy?
It's a good question. And we run across that all the time. And you can look at a couple of things. If you have a lender on the deal, so somebody, you know, whether it's private or a larger institution, they're usually going to require to be listed as additional insured or at the very least certificate holder on your liability insurance. That way, again, they're notified prior to your policy lapsing for non-payment or any other underwriting issue. And the off chance that they're named in a lawsuit, which will never happen, and your liability coverage would also extend to them. But you can, you know, many property management companies, if you're dealing with a large property management organization, will also require that you list their company on your liability as additional insured. So again, you do something negligent, your liability coverage extends to them. And you can do the same thing vice versa and be listed on their liability coverage. But really anyone that has an ownership interest in the property, they could be potentially drug into a lawsuit.
Okay. So as far as if you had a corporation that's the manager of an LLC, should it be named then as the additional insured as well?
No, the corporation would be listed as first named insured. So if the corporation's managing other locations that they don't have ownership interest in, then at that point, yes. That doesn't stop. That doesn't prevent them from having to seek out the correct liability coverage to cover their property management operations as well. But at least for the premises, they'd be covered without being listed as additional as well.
Perfect. Okay. So you can do business in all 50 states, right?
Absolutely.
And then for our clients, all they have to do is we have that link that we've set up. It drives them right to your page and then they can put in some information and then someone will contact them. Is that how it works?
Yeah. And we do things a little bit different. So as you well know, I'm sure is, you know, the last thing we do, especially when the new investor comes to us and says, "Hey, I need coverage, but I don't know what kind of coverage I need." You know, we're not just going to send them a proposal and say, "Hey, take it or leave it." It's the most important thing that all of our investor friends can know is that they have so many choices when it comes to property and liability insurance. So what we do is we get one of my licensed advisors or myself that actually will jump on a phone call with our prospect. And the first 10, 15 minutes of the call is we want to listen to you. We want to know exactly what your business model is. We want to know, you know, what your appetite for risk is, what you're okay self-insuring, what you're not, what you do, God forbid, a total loss occurs. You know, would you rebuild the property or would you clean the land up, sell it and go buy something else like it? Are there lending insurance requirements that we need to comply with? And then we'll help to structure your coverage unique to whatever your package needs to have on it.
Perfect. All right. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to be on this podcast today. And I know that for sure we will end up getting hopefully more people brought over to you so they can have their insurance needs taken care of. So with that, Sean, thanks a lot. Look forward to talking to you in the future.
Thank you, Clint. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast. And if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.